Hello, welcome to the Long Shot Leaders Podcast. I'm Michael Stein. My guest today is Amberly Snyder. Amberly is a championship barrel racer. She also competed in pole bending and breakaway roping. In 2010, she suffered a car crash that paralyzed her from the waist down. She adapted to the injury and kept competing. Her story was portrayed in the Netflix biopic Walk, Ride, Rodeo. Couple little fun side notes. She also made a brief appearance as herself in the third season of Yellowstone, and her dad also played for the Dodgers. Corey Snyder. Great story. Wonderful person. Real inspiration. You're going to like this one. Here is Amberly Snyder. All right. I'm here with Amberly Snyder, and she's got a special thing about her background. You know, we said in the pregame a little bit, she's got a lot to her story. One thing is, I'm an LA boy and her dad used to play for the Dodgers. I think that's a pretty cool little nugget, you know, but that's just a small part of her whole story. So we're going to get into it. Let's go back to the beginning like we do. Tell us about yourself. Where were you born? Tell us a little bit about mom and dad, childhood, a little bit about yourself.
So I was born in California. I was born in Laguna Hills. My dad played for the LA Dodgers. So of course, baseball was in the background. My mom was a cheerleader. They met at BYU. That's where they met. And then a few of us were born in California before we moved to Utah. My dad, of course, did the major league deal until he retired when I was about four. And for me, as far as the horses goes, I mean, to know how I got into that, it was, I think, just born into me. My mom had a horse when she was younger. And when she saw I had an interest, she wanted to make it possible. So at 3 years old, I started riding lessons in California. And then it really grew when we moved to Utah when I was seven. But I'm pretty lucky in my family. There's six of us. So there's a whole herd of kids. I'm the second of the six kids. So there's a lot of us and we're all super busy and I would even say super talented in what we do.
So when you were a kid, did you say, you know what, I don't know how, but some way I want to make, you know, like, you know, horseback riding or whatever, this part of my lifestyle. Did you know what you wanted to do at that time? You know, what were you thinking about, you know, in like, let's say high school?
So in my family, I kind of joke that there was two requirements or they would have sent us back. I would say the first one, we had to know what we wanted to do for the rest of our lives at 3 years old. And two, we were required to have good hair. And if we didn't have either of those things, there could have been more Snyder kids in the world. I don't know. But the ones that made the cut, they're still here.
She's got really good hair, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it's long blonde hair. It's got, you know, nice highlights in it, you know. So I guess one that was priority was taken care of. Now, what was your personal aspiration, you know, when you were a kid? Did you have any idea? Was you set like that?
So mine was the horses. That's what I fell in love with. And that's when I started doing. When we were seven, we moved to Utah. And I told my dad I'd only move if he bought me a Palomino barrel horse when we got there. He did. And that's when I started competing in rodeo. And that's what I've done my whole life. That's definitely been my passion and what I've set my goals with. And even still what I'm accomplishing.
You know, you look so young, so I don't want to, like, you know, because I know the dates on certain things, so I don't want to give away, you know, the progression of our story. High school, what was high school like for you?
High school rodeoed, and I loved high school. I was in FFA, so I served as an FFA chapter officer when I was there. I was state FFA president the year that I graduated. You know, that was where I stayed busy. I've always been kind of intrinsically pushed, so I did wanted to make sure I did good in my schooling and my grades and making sure that I was able to get scholarships when it came to college. I mean, my parents encouraged that, but I wouldn't say that they like got mad at me for it, but that was what I wanted to do. So I stayed pretty busy between school and horses and FFA.
You know, roughly around this time period, what year roughly is this time period?
That would have been 2009. So that's like, I'm in high school. So when I was 18 and made the Little Riches finals, made the high school finals, that's when I'd won my world title with the Little Riches Association. That was all kind of in that senior year of high school time.
You know, you're young age, but you're hitting, you must have felt like after that, the hair's looking good, your career looking, you know, things are going well. You know, you're at the zenith did you feel that momentum at that time? You know, you really feel like I feel like things are really clicking on all cylinders.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, planning for college and had scholarships lined up of where I wanted to go, knew what I wanted to be. I mean, you have everything figured out at that senior year of you're ready to take the next step and start life, you know, differently, right? Differently when it came to school and what you're going to do. We all face that. Everyone does that when you take that step. And I felt like it was all lining in place exactly the way that I had wanted it to.
Okay. Before we go into 2010, let's talk about family a little bit. You know, brothers and sisters. What do they do? What are they doing? What are some of the? I want to get an idea of this big family. Normally, I don't ask that, but such a big family, I want to see what that atmosphere is like.
Yeah. So my older sister, she was a gymnast. She's actually now a coach. She was a world champion by 8 years old on the trampoline. I mean, that was what she had picked, and that's what she was going to dedicate herself to. Then I have two little brothers below me. Of course, they followed the baseball routes, right? That was what they wanted to do. They both played high school ball, college ball. They were both offered drafts to play baseball. They both turned down their first drafts actually to stay in college. The one brother by his senior year of college had gotten hurt. So he went on and decided to be a chef. So he took on that career. And the other brother still plays. So he's in the minor league association. He played with the Rockies this last year. And then I have two little sisters. And the two little sisters we say are like, they're a little bit wild. So the one little sister rode with me. The other little sister, you know, she fell in love with singing and dancing and all of that. And I feel like every single one of us has always had to have, you know, goals of what we want to accomplish and where we want to go.
Strong personalities.
100%. For sure. You put us all in the same room and put a board game in front of us and it can get a little rowdy.
Where does that come from? Is it both mom and dad, or what are the elements from each?
You know, I think that my dad taught us, you know, what it took, right? Like he knew what it took to be the best. And so he really ingrained that into us and expected that out of us. And, you know, the effort that it took, the dedication, the hard work, the perseverance, I feel like that really came from him. Now, the part where I would say that we learned how to believe in ourselves and learned how to pick ourselves up when things went wrong or to find the positive in things, that would have came from my mom. It was like a perfect combination between the two, right? My mom taught us how to believe in ourselves to accomplish what we wanted to accomplish. And my dad pushed us to do it.
Right. So things are going well. Take us on this drive. You're driving, you're going to another event, right?
Yes.
Tell us about your situation, about this part of your life.
So I'd been offered a job in Denver, Colorado at the stock show. I was just going to work. So it was just, I didn't take any horses with me or anything, but I was going there to work for a couple of weeks, be able to save my money so I could buy my permit and start pro rodeoing. And I was on that drive when I had looked down to check my map. When I looked up, I'd faded over a lane, resulted in rolling my truck, and I was ejected from my truck, hit a fence post at 70 miles an hour, which is what broke my back, injured my spinal cord, and definitely started life over.
So you wake up in the hospital, right? Because you're unconscious. Do you remember, you know, that accident at all?
Oh, no, I didn't get knocked out at all. So I remember the whole thing. Yeah. So I was sitting, I mean, I remember myself leaving my truck, hitting the post, sitting on the side of the road, waiting for somebody to come and get me, all of that. Yeah. There's not any missing blanks there.
So I have a friend that it was spotty for him, similar situation in a car. So, you know, take us through the stages of this. You know, I want to really get a feel for this, you know, on your journey. You know, you're going to the hospital, you know, you're going through the processes. Tell us about that process.
So, I mean, it starts right on the side of the road when your legs don't work and you realize that they don't work. I mean, I'm sitting in a snowbank, but I feel like I'm sitting in warm water. So processing that. And then I called my dad and told him what had happened. So I knew he could probably figure out how to handle what happens next. They load me in the ambulance. They tell me the news, right? They tell me that the chances of me walking are slim to none, more than none. They load me in the Lifelight helicopter, take me to Casper, where I went through the surgery, wake up from that and hear, you know, everything you've thought you've wanted to do is now not going to happen. I told them I rode horses. I told them I barrel race. And they just said, yeah, that's impossible. People don't do that. You know, try to find something else. Try to figure out what else you're going to do for the rest of your life. And that's how it starts. I mean, that's just the beginning of you have to really try to reevaluate of, okay, they're now telling you that everything you do is going to be hard, which it was. So you decide what you want to accomplish.
I mean, in the extremely short amount of time that I had known you, in this conversation, I could tell that you're a strong minded person, you know, and at this point, this is the way you're articulating about this, but I want to know for people listening, the managing of the emotions at that time, how do you navigate that situation over, you know, what's going on? How does that work?
Honestly, I don't think there's really any how-to book for that. It's day by day, right? You hear something or you feel something, and that's going to cause the emotions on how you feel with that. And I felt like for me that I was going to work through them in the way that if I felt them, I was going to show them, and then I was going to figure out how to have them rather than try to buckle them all up, right? Or bundle them in a ball or try to hang on to them and pretend like everything was okay all the time. I don't think that that really works. I would do that for people who came and visited. I tried for the majority of it. You know, I would try to be okay because you're supposed to be okay. But, you know, when it was just me or somebody that was close to me that was there with me, then I felt like I could have like, okay, this really sucks, and have to work through those emotions. And we can't change it, you know, even though it does really suck, that doesn't mean that it's going to fix itself. So at that point, right, once you've cried it all out or yelled it all out, then it's like, okay, well, now what? You know, what are we going to do now?
So you take this route, you know, at this is your cause celeb. Such a, you know, and I've seen the way this boulder goes down the hill before, you know, or the way that, you know, somebody takes this, you take the right route. You take the, you know, you give purpose to your mission now. What are the steps you take? What are the milestones that you take in this journey from that hospital bed to going back home to, you know, what does that journey look like? Because I know the story and it looks good. You know, it looks like this is somebody that was dealt a challenge and, you know, nothing's perfect, but I've seen this done before and they're doing it right. How did you go take us through that journey from that point to, you know, how, what it looks like?
Yeah. I think that it's just a lot of day by day. I think that, you know, I wanted to get back into school. So that was one challenge that we faced, and didn't mean that it was perfect, but you could find the good things in it. I wanted to get back on my horses. That didn't go quite like I planned. I had thought that it wouldn't change. You know, I knew everything else had, but that obviously was going to also change. And I told myself it wasn't. So I got on them 4 months after, and it wasn't what I expected it to be. So I took 9 months without them while I went to school, tried to figure out how to handle life in a chair. I mean, how do you accomplish getting to school by yourself? How do you accomplish getting in and out of a vehicle? How do you accomplish getting to school when there's ice and snow on the ground? I mean, it became very much, let's break it down. What can you accomplish today? And I'm the type of person, I do like to celebrate accomplishments. I feel like it's a practice in order to be happy. And so shoot, if I did something good, like, man, I'd tell myself I did something good. Right. And that was the way that I would build myself up. Not to mention I'm surrounded by some really great people. So of course they always helped anywhere that they could help. And they always made me feel like I was accomplishing everything, and that helps. But gosh, you know, it's just, there's such a process. And I think that you can't take on the big mountain, right? Let's just take one little slope at a time before we get all the way to the top.
Was there, you know, was that the biggest surprise? You know, those nuts and bolts, the day to day, or was this something that caught you on surprise that really kind of surprised you? And, you know, this adjustment of life?
I don't know if I could pinpoint exactly what would surprise me the most. I mean, all of it was hard and all of it was new, right? I don't feel like there was any part of me that had been prepared to now live life in a chair. So every day was trying to figure out something else. And then you'd hit a roadblock. For instance, at school, you know, they hadn't plowed. They plowed and they put all the snow in front of the ramp. Didn't really think about that until I'm trying to get to class and there's a bunch of snow in front of the ramp. Well, I'm not going to school that day. Like, I just loaded up and went back home. Like, and you cry because that doesn't seem fair. And that's not the way that that's supposed to go.
Right.
So there were things that surprised me in the fact of how hard life is. I mean, I thought I had faced pretty big challenges and I thought I had overcome a lot, but then all of a sudden here I am in a very different scenario that is actually hard.
Right. Take us to the milestones of, like, cause I, you know, I've been to your website, kind of, I know your story. I've seen like some, you know, I'm like, she's doing some remarkable things here. Things are challenges, but you know, she's, you know, I know we isolate pictures and all that, but you have circumstances that you've gone through and you've done. Can you take us through the milestones that you said, well, now I'm going to do this, and this is what's going to happen now. Now I'm going to do this, and kind of take us through that, what you've done since this?
Yeah. So I say there's the big, I would say like the three big ones, which is the ones I set in the hospital, right? And that was walk, ride, rodeo. Like, I told myself those were my big goals. That was what I wanted to accomplish. The walking I can't completely control, which is hard coming from somebody who's been able to control a lot of the way my life has gone. So outside of that, I was like, okay, well, what can I still do? You know, I can still go to school and get my degree. The riding, I figured out how to get back on with a seatbelt on my saddle, got back in the arena so that I could continue to compete in the sport that I love. I mean, I'm the only professional paralyzed rail racer in the entire United States. So there is no own category for what I do. I run against everybody else. And I mean, I feel like that was a pretty big milestone in order to accomplish that. Finishing my degree and starting to be a speaker, I wouldn't say I woke up and decided I was going to be a speaker. It kind of picked me and it started unfolding that way. So now I've traveled around to over 40 something states. I'm nearly at 50 getting to speak and share my story. I mean, there's all those things that unfold on the way that life comes at you. And it makes you really glad when it does unfold the way that you want. You remember that God has a plan for you. And as long as you keep the faith of where you're supposed to be and keep the attitude and keep moving forward, he's going to make sure that it all unfolds that way.
Rodeo. I mean, have you fallen off? I mean, what's that like? What are the challenges there? You know, tell us a little bit about before, you know, what, to the extent that you got in rodeo before that, and now, you know, some close calls or interesting dynamics, you know, of now.
So your legs on a horse are pretty important. Everyone would agree with that. Anybody in the horse industry would agree with that. So of course that's what I've ridden with my whole life. And just being able to communicate your horse on that level is very different. And the independence of being with your horse and chores with your horses and getting on your horses and riding them, you know, all of that requires independence. So very different shift when now my legs don't work. I'm in a chair at a little bit of a risky level with my horses because they can flip me over quite easily, trying to figure out what can and I can't do, what requires help. I'm stubborn enough that I wanted to figure out how to do everything before I asked for the help or got the help. And then the riding, I mean, that has to change. There is no choice on that. I mean, I'm now strapped to my saddle. I can't kick. My legs aren't there to communicate. So it's all through my hands and my voice. And that's just what you got to do. I mean, the only thing I would tell you that doesn't shift from before to after is the desire to win. That doesn't take a shift.
Right. Any close calls to where you're like, holy shit, oops.
You know, I haven't ever been bucked off because I can't. I am strapped in. I have had a horse buck with me and broke my nose, smashed my face a little bit. I've had a horse fall with me, broke my femur. I had a horse run me into a barrel pretty good. So that shattered my kneecap. Yeah. So I'd definitely say I've had some close calls.
Is, you know, brothers, sisters, mom, dad, like Amberly, or do they call you Amber or Amberly? I'm just want to get.
Oh yeah. They call me Amberly or Am.
Okay. They probably called you Am.
Yeah.
Am, what the heck? You know, or what? How were they reacting when you're doing this? Or what was that dynamic like?
I think that they learned that it was going to happen anyway. So they might as well just say, okay, how do we make sure that doesn't happen again?
Of course it was. Tell us about, you know, you travel all over the country, you know, tell us about the dynamics of that. That's really, you know, that's wonderful. You know, because you 16 minute psychology, right? You're gaining your significance, you're gaining connection, you're getting a sense of growth, you know, and on your journey, you're getting so much out of this. Tell us, you know, about some interesting aspects of what you've gone through now that you're definitely a model, you know, of this is what, you know, this is textbook, you know, on what success looks like, you know, in the situation. What have you got, you know, tell us about dynamics, people that you talk to, some interesting things.
Yeah. In the speaking world, I've been pretty lucky. You know, like I said, I don't feel like I really picked it. It kind of picked me when I was in my accident. I was actually serving as the Utah State FFA president at the time. And at the end of the year, you do a retiring address, a going away speech. And I had written mine in December of 2009. So before my wreck, and I'd written it on overcoming obstacles. So convention ended up being 2 months to the day after my accident. And I now not walked on stage, but wheeled on stage to give that speech. So just
two months after your injury,
2 months. Yep. 2 months to the day. So I wrecked January 10th, convention started March 10th.
Oh.
So that right there, I mean, just showed how crazy life unfolded. And I started getting asked to speak and share my story, and started at schools and then moved to businesses. And then it grew to be my career. And I get to travel all over and meeting people and sharing not just my story, but hearing theirs, right? You know, sharing the triumphs and the tragedies and what have you gone through? And this is what I've gone through and learning about people. Heck, I was just in Colorado last week with a girl that she got injured on her horse and she's working through the challenge of being able to get back on. And it's incredible to see people who you can relate to and that they find your story inspiring or motivating to continue to move forward. And that part, I'm pretty dang lucky that I still get to do.
Absolutely. Where are you at today? What is your, what tell us all the dynamics of what you're doing right now. You're speaking, what else is going on?
Yeah. So I speak, I'm a keynote speaker. That's what I say my job is. And then of course I ride. It's a little chilly right now. So I'm about to go to Arizona. I go to Arizona in the winter to ride my horses. And I don't know. I mean, that keeps me pretty busy. I have my own merch that I sell when I go places. And so I have that dynamic of what I do there. Of course, you build in family and friends and all of the involved in that. And between everything in there, I mean, I stay pretty busy all the time. I mean, heck, today to be able to talk to you, I'm like, all right, I didn't get to stand in my standing frame and I needed to stand. So here we are doing both while we're visiting.
So standing frame, tell us about that. Now you, it's basically, let's take a look at this and I'll describe. So basically, are you standing up right now? I can't even tell.
Well, it's a machine that I can jump to it from my chair and then it locks my knees out for me. And there's a device that helps pump it up so that it pumps me up to standing, right? It pushes my hip forward, locks my knees out so that I can be standing, which feels good, obviously, for my body physically, as well as the mental part of it. Being able to do that is really good for me all around. And so I haven't got to it yet. And I leave right after we get done talking to drive south. And so I'm like, all right, I need to stand. So this is what I get to do when I'm home. I get to do that. And it's good for me in all the ways.
Yeah. Let's get into the specifics of that. Cause that's interesting to me. Just what you're standing on right now almost looks like it's like a pec deck basically in the gym, but it has a place to put your legs. Are there actual benefits to this? I mean, can we talk about that? Is there a chance or, you know, to keep your body primed to, you know, if technology catches up to where you're in a more conducive place towards healing or what are the dynamics of that? Where I don't even know where we're at right now with that, you know, so what does that look like?
So the standing, I mean, one is just good for me physically. So helps my bones stay stronger. Naturally, your bones are going to get weaker as you go when you're not walking on them. So it helps my bones. It helps try to keep parts of my body stretched out. I know that if I haven't stood or rode my horses in a bit, my back starts to get sore. My body starts to ache. So it helps with that part, keeping me healthy. And then of course, you know, you want to try to keep yourself in a place that when you're in a position in order for technology to be there, which it's getting so close. I don't want to be a guinea pig for certain things. So when I know that things work, then that's what I want to go and do. I just barely qualified for rewalk legs. So they're like robot legs. So I'm going to get those in order to really help my body also continue to progress and make sure that I'm in a spot where I'm healthy enough when something else comes along. But I mean, there's always a chance. I think that in order for miracles to happen, you have to believe in them. And I do believe in them. So you want to stay in a place that you can be ready.
You know, that's what would excite me is the technology as you see it progressing and you're watching that and how you can be a part of that. That just me, you know, does it excite you too, to be, you know, to think about, you know, the possibilities?
Well, yeah, I think it does. I mean, knowing that we're in a place and in a world and in a time that is possible to be there. I wouldn't say I probably spend as much time thinking about it as maybe others do, because I feel like I have to live my life to the fullest that I can with what I have. Right. So I don't like to sit and think of when I'm walking, my life will be better. I don't want to think about that. You know, what can I do to make my life great now? And then when I'm walking, that'll just be icing on the cake. But yeah, of course it crosses your mind. How could it not?
Right. Absolutely. Though I think I would be there too. You know, it's like, look, I don't live there, but you know, it's something that, you know, that what I would glom onto a little bit, you know, and, you know, be interested about. When you think of long-term for you and you think about, you know, well, now I got this plan. I'll ask, you know, I want to know there's several directions you go in. We haven't talked about a book yet. I would like to see that myself. I'm selfish, but you know, what is your future? What do you have planned in the future for yourself?
Well, I am writing a book. I wrote a kid's book. So there is a kid's book that is
Good. Let's talk about the kid's book real quick. I want to get in, and then we'll get into the horizons. What's this kid's book?
Yes. So, and I told you my horse fell and broke my femur when I was sitting there with that because I couldn't be rodeoing. I wrote a kid's book. So it's called Walk, Ride, Rodeo, which is also what the Netflix movie named the movie was after, that little kid's book and the three words that I had said in the hospital. So it's kind of all come full circle, but I do have that. And I am working on another book. I've put a pause on it for a minute because I felt like I was just overwhelmed and busy with what my life was. And I have goals that I want to accomplish, but I'll come back to it. I'll get it wrote. At some point it will be wrote. Or written. I don't even know which word to use. I've probably been that.
Written.
And then people can read it then.
That's awesome. Long term. You plan out that far ahead, or, you know, what does that look like?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think that I want to have that book. I want to have a couple. I want to do an entire kids book version, you know, with adventures of the horse that everyone knows. His name is Power. That's probably my most famous horse. And I want to do that eventually and have a line with that. So we'll get there. We will get there. Sometimes I get caught up in thinking I need to always be progressing and doing something new for people. And then I remember, you know, my life is for me too. So I can take a step back from having to have something new for the fans and the followers. And I do get to spend some time enjoying the life that I have, but don't worry, right? Like, it's there, it's coming. I have the plans and I continue to work for it. So I'll have those, whether it's books or maybe another movie will come out at some point when the time is right with that. We'll play it out as we go.
It's a wonderful story, but it seems like, you know, I think your family, you just seem so strong to me. You just seem like, you know, this is just not because of this. You seem like you were strong before this happened. You know, you were just seem like a strong person. Like, you got your shit together, you know who you are. You just exude confidence. And it just seems like family has been a big part of that growing up with, you know, a lot of brothers and sisters. And a solid, you know, in the dynamics of your life. What do you think? Do you think that I'm safe in saying that?
I think you are. I mean, I tell people that, you know, they ask, I don't know. It's funny when people ask, like, well, when did the movie start? And I'm like, it started when I was born. Like, if we're being quite honest, it started with when I was born, because I had to be raised in order to have the personality and have the traits that then when I did face this challenge that I was able to continue to move forward. I don't think that just comes magically. I think that does come from the people you're around or experiences you have, whether it's family or friends or whatever those influences are. Shoot, it's the hardships. It's even the not great things that go on that shape you in order for you to be prepared for what comes next.
Yeah. You know, the word that comes to mind, and the first time I heard this phrase was in Something's Gotta Give with Jack Nicholson and Diane Keaton, you know, and I don't know if you know this movie, but they're not getting along. And then he tells her something that he really likes about her. And he says, I think you're formidable. And it's a compliment because, you know, when that means that you're formidable in the sense that, you know, this person is got their shit together. They're serious. And they're a person of like extreme integrity and confidence and, you know, power. And that's what I think you are. So thank you for sharing today. I just really appreciate it. And I look forward to hearing more because you're still so young, but I look forward to hearing more about your story and you.
Well, thank you for that. I hope to continue to get to speak and continue to get to share. One of my goals is to be able to speak in all 50 states. So I'm getting really close and would love to be able to do that. Of course, I'll continue to rodeo and in all the realms of where that's at. I mean, you're in Texas, so I've come down there and run there, but no, I think that there is so much more ahead and I'm excited to do it.
I see it. Thank you so much for sharing today. A pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
That was Amberly Snyder, true inspiration. Amberly, here's a quote that I think you're going to like. Before I go out on the field every day, I tell myself you are having fun and you want to set a good example to those who are watching. Corey Snyder. Thank you for joining us. And I look forward to hanging out with you all on the next episode. All right. Have you guys been to longshotleaders.com? That's where you can check out all of the guests and the bios and the backgrounds and more. Also, if you haven't done so already, subscribe to the podcast on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what we do, give us a good rating. Tell your family and friends to come by and listen. It's going to make you feel nice and toasty inside. Every week we'll be delivering knowledge, creativity, inspiration, exasperation, perspiration. If it ends with a shun, basically you're going to find it here. All right. Thank you for joining us. And in the great words of Bill Murray in the movie Caddyshack, friends for life, I say.